gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the United States of...
How can I feel good when I have no Wi-Fi? Thank you, sequester.
Yeah, thank you. Not sequester, shutdown.
Shutdown.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, United States of...
Yeah.
The United States of nothing. Good morning, everybody.
Are the lights on where you are?
Yeah, we have a little audio of the... You know, the president had a call with Boehner yesterday, and I believe this is what he said.
You lose! Good day, sir!
Wow, okay. He does a good Gene Wilder.
See, I stole that from The Daily Show, because normally they steal from us,
right.
So I stole it back.
Payback.
Biatch.
You know, if I were in the business of attacking the United States, I'd do it right about now.
Yeah,
sure.
Jim said that when he walked in. I'm like, yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, China. Yeah, Syria. We have no defenses.
Hey. Let's, my brother-in-law works at Edwards. It's a ghost town right now.
Yeah. This is...
Well, apparently...
I told Chris before the thing, I was saying, this gets hard to talk about every day in a new and different and entertaining way, because it's really just... right? We could do that for 3 hours. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, no, apparently there are long lines getting into military bases because they've had to let the civilian people who work at the gates go.
Right.
So there are lines 2 miles long trying to get into military bases.
Wow. Yeah,
so it's just crazy this morning.
Hey, this just in, Boehner. New poll, 72% oppose shutdown over Obamacare. Oops.
Oh, who cares what the American people think? Screw them.
Nearly three-quarters of voters, 72%, oppose shutting down the government in order to block or weaken the
government. Yeah, well, let them suck it.
According to a new Quinnipiac poll out just this morning, while the poll shows the public is split on how they feel about Obamacare, 45% support, 47% oppose, nearly 6 in 10. That's almost 60%.
Mm-hmm.
Say Congress should not cut off funding to prevent...
What's a Quinnipiac? Who cares?
Is what they're hoping, because right now, obviously, the polls split because there's been a tsunami of misinformation
Chaff.
They're hoping, that they can... I don't know how many times you can say it. This is just... It's stunning. This is just stunning. This has never happened before. I don't even know how to talk about it. If you've just tuned in and you don't really, because that's the other thing, but they count on that people don't really know what this is about. No, this is again both sides. Oh my goodness, they're just
not both sides.
Yeah, I was saying we got to get our buddy Chris Matthews on. He has a new book out about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, and it's the thing that we've been saying over and over again, but that. Wasn't that just about partisanship? People used to be human beings.
Yeah.
It's just, and he tells a lot of stories. I mean, that literally that was a joke that Reagan would have about, not after 6 o'clock. We're friends after 6 o'clock. And they really were.
Mm-hmm.
And they were human beings. And there was this touching story about him at Reagan's bedside after he got shot. And they held hands and recited a Bible verse. And can you imagine any kind of show of humanity like that from Ted Cruz or John Boehner anyway.
Oh, I'm standing next to a sick guy. Oh, ick.
And then Chris told a funny story about Reagan. They were negotiating in the back room and they were asking for, his tax cuts, which was his baby. This is Obamacare is the president's baby. And Reagan said, look, Tip, I can crap a pineapple. I'm not going to crap a cactus. And they worked it out.
So you crapped a pineapple.
The president yesterday. Here he is.
One faction of one party in one House of Congress in one branch of government doesn't get to shut down the entire government just to refight the results of an election.
Drone strike. No. That'd be wrong.
Yeah, we may need to think about how we dealt with Syria here. I mean, my future husband, Mike Tomosky, wrote this, and it's what I've been saying, is at some point you have to stop calling them hostage takers. They're terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They are terrorists, and because of what he's saying, the mentality is a suicide bomber.
Right.
They don't care. And I think they knew, unless they're that dumb, that the results of the polls would be this morning. They don't care.
Right.
As long as they take down the president and some Democrats with them, they don't care.
They don't,
and the United States
You know, the ironic thing is that they're shutting down the government over Obamacare, but open enrollment starts today.
Right.
They're unsuccessful in everything they do.
Yeah. I know.
So go to healthcare.gov if you want to enroll today.
A Republican today on TV and this morning was saying, well, this is just sort of going to roll into the debt ceiling. This is now going to, it's kind of, I mean, this is a rolling catastrophe at this point. This is going to merge into the debt ceiling. I mean, we have shut down the United, not we, Kimo Sabe. The Republicans have shut down the government as many times as they send these guys out with talking points. The Harry Reid, hashtag Harry Reid shutdown, hashtag, we don't want the president to do this, but if he feels like we are, hitting yourself? Yeah. Why are you hitting yourself, Mr. President? And you can tell the talking points that go out.
Mm-hmm.
What's that guy? Jason Chavitz, the Republican from Utah, was the guy on, it's just, they have to get out the not ready for primetime because you could tell that must be the talking point. This is not ready for primetime. I mean, we're just trying to help the American people. We're trying to save them from the disaster of... It's not ready for primetime. We are being reasonable. Could they talk in a more condescending, patronizing way?
Well, we are being reasonable.
One of them actually said, we're being the adults. If only the president would... We're trying to be reasonable here. We are offering compromise, and
I don't understand.
What? This is a law that was passed 3.5 years ago that's already been implemented in part. As you said, in the major part, it doesn't start till today, so how could it already have decimated America?
Thank you, voting machines and gerrymandering.
Right. Anyway.
This is what you get.
My point is that... Okay. This is just, all right. These were the polls yesterday. A new national survey that was yesterday shows more Americans would blame Republicans than President Obama. That's a CNN poll. That one was more 46% say they blame Republicans, 36% say the president, which that's a victory of epic bull proportions right there.
Yep.
There's, this is... I don't know if you saw Ted Cruz on Meet the Press, but this is what I'm talking about, this patronizing, condescending, we're being the adults in the room. Why won't the president, after a law has been duly passed and upheld by the Constitution, and reaffirmed in two consecutive landslides?
Just because he won twice?
Right. He said, so far, Reid has essentially told the House of Representatives and the American people, go jump in a lake. He said, I'm not willing to compromise. I'm not willing to even talk. His position is 100% of Obamacare must be funded in all instances. And other than that, he's going to shut the government down.
No.
I hope he doesn't do that.
What? You're doing it.
If Harry Reid forces a government shutdown, that will be a mistake. I hope he backs away from the ledge that he's pushing us towards.
God.
But that's his position. This is like psyops.
Yeah.
Twice Harry Reid has said, we won't even have a conversation. I refuse to compromise. Yeah. We want to fund it all. We want to stick it on the American people, and we won't budge. That's not a reasonable position. And if we have a shutdown, it will be because Harry Reid holds that absolutist position and essentially holds the American people hostage. Oh, my God.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Right. John Stewart made another analogy last night about it. It's like a football game and stopping in the middle and going, if you won't just give us 10 points, we're going to shut down the NFL.
Yeah, right.
What? Rocky Mountain Mike, thank God. We need a little, we need to put this to music because what else can you do at this point?
Government, yeah, they're going to shut you down. You happen down the hill where they tell big lies. A bunch of crazy rednecks standing side by side. Yeah, they don't want us healthy and they act 13. They're revving up the rhetoric and seem real mean. Mess it up, government, yeah, they're gonna shut you down. Declining poll numbers at an obscene rate. Cruising 21 hours just to masturbate. The report at the last minute seems to get real thin. But the crystal meth they're smoking starts to kick in. Get up, yeah, they're gonna shut you down. Government, yeah, they're gonna shut you down. Government, yeah, they're gonna shut you down.
Yay, Beach Boys makes everything better. Lord of. Stephen Colbert did Breaking Gov. You knew someone would do the Breaking Bad.
Sure.
And now, speaking of meth, Orrin, I have the sense a lot of people will need to vent this morning. Let's begin, shall we? Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, and I have a cold this morning, so I'm going to talk about health care.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
You know, the big talking point right now is the president has been giving waivers to all of his friends.
Right.
And, yeah, this socialist president is giving waivers to his big business friends. I think that's a funny one.
And, yes, exactly.
And that individuals need a waiver. And this is what I told my congressman to remind him. I said, this first year, the IRS is not heavily enforcing this tax or that fine. And it's only $95. And then it goes up in 2015 and then again in 2016. That is the waiver.
Right.
That they're not completely letting everybody just not do anything, but it's a way to get people to do something to start to investigate this whole plan without being heavily taxed or hurt.
Yeah.
That is the waiver.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Can you imagine? You go back to any time in history. We're only asking for a delay in Medicare or Social Security for a year. Why is that unreasonable, even though we have gotten to a point where we keep using the word unprecedented. This is probably, this just has never happened.
Exactly.
In 235 years of, and they make it seem like this is just a reasonable everyday sort of negotiation. We're negotiating. No, you don't, in America, get to negotiate with something that's already been passed.
Yeah.
And that's been upheld by the Supreme Court. You don't get to do it, as the president said. Okay.
This is a hostage situation.
I need more than a hug.
Oh.
I
can't provide you with that.
I need a medicated hug.
Okay.
I need a pharmaceutical hug. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. No, there's no controversy according to the latest polls. Everyone thinks the Republicans are a bunch of douche nozzles.
That's right.
Okay, the president yesterday.
A shutdown will have a very real economic impact on real people. It would throw a wrench into the gears of our economy at a time when those gears have gained some traction.
And this is just the precursor to the real excitement when we blow through the debt ceiling. Then it'll be, wow, fun, wow, worldwide economic catastrophe.
Wow!
And as Jim said, boy, if I were an America hater, now would be a good time.
Bombs away.
Right.
Nobody home.
Right. Right. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Oh, your air defense is doing. Oh, you don't have any. That's handy.
Everybody get it. Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, I say leave it closed. Right up to that ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Leave it closed?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, show them you ain't bluffing. Because all their donors are going to start screaming. Military contractors, everybody.
Yeah.
And you can't, if you're going to in a car game and you're going to bluff, you got to go all the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the difference. I don't know, somebody was saying that the president just seemed sad yesterday because I think he's not.
He didn't want this?
Yeah, this is not a game to him. But I, you know, that being said, obviously he is taking Corky's advice in the sense that he can't. You just can't negotiate.
Corky has a hotline to the president.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it Corky? Hang on, Boner. Got to take a call from Corky.
Corky in Buffalo.
Rochester.
Rochester, sorry.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes, I don't...
Rochester.
That's good. Wow, that was an old school.
Oh, Don.
He went old school.
What was that?
Jack Benny.
Jack Benny.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Whippersnapper.
I'm not old like you.
Shit. The president said yesterday, you can't shut it down. No matter what Congress decides to do today, the Affordable Care Act is moving forward. So Congress needs to keep our government open, needs to pay our bills on time, and never, ever threaten the full faith and credit of the United States of America. He obviously said the shutdown could damage the fragile economic recovery, calling it the height of irresponsibility. I guess as if they would care.
Yeah.
He said, he underlined, the federal government is America's largest employer. All of us will be hurt greatly. The White House said it is theoretically open to working with Republicans to address Obamacare's likely glitches and setbacks, which he has always said in any major program like this, but not with those who seek to whittle away key provisions as steps toward unmaking the entire law, which is clearly what their goal is. That's the other thing. Does anyone really believe that? Oh, we just want to delay. Like, no, you don't. You want to do that so you can figure out yet another way to try to dismantle this. And okay, the president.
The Senate has passed a bill that keeps the government open, does not have a lot of extraneous issues to it, that allows us then to negotiate a longer-term budget and address a range of other issues.
I think we should drop SEAL Team 6.
You think?
There. Yeah.
Sure. If only
not to do anything, just to make a point.
We can't because the government's shut down.
That'd be funny.
We can give an IOU.
Yeah, but that would have been funny if right before midnight they just... Just like the scene from Zero Dark Thirty. Not that they do anything. They're just to hang out. Just, hey.
Hey.
What's going on, Boner?
Was that a gun cock sound that I just heard? I have to change my shirt.
I was just doing that thing with my mouth. How you doing? Just get it right up in his face.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Just threat-ish, not an actual threat.
No.
No.
That's an actual threat.
Okay, Tracy in Birmingham, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Trace.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I'm so listen, this is, even though I am just so outraged by what happened, you know, with those shutdown thing and all, but this is a plea, please, to the liberals in the Democratic Party. We have got to stay together. This is for all the people at the Nation magazine and the Chris Hayes types. We have got to stay together because regaining the House is imperative if we want to keep our nation together and intact.
Yeah, well, and Tracy, I said this yesterday that, you know, when you look at a lot of the news from around the world, whether it's Iran or Syria or whatever, you realize how really critically important this is. Somebody, you know, asked a reporter that was traveling with the Iranian president, well, can, you know, the president actually, does he have the power to ease sanctions? Because he doesn't seem like he has the votes to keep his own government open. I mean, people around the world are watching us right now. Yep. And if we blow through our debt ceiling, I mean, that's why I was saying that, you know, they are terrorists. They are terrorists within our own government.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. But what we have got to maintain in our own party is that we have got to make sure we have a united front. We have got to give President Obama that base.
We also have to stop the gerrymandering.
Yeah. Well, no, Tracy, and I agree with you. This is why I was so, you know, strong about Syria. This is, you know, this is why I want to talk to Chris Matthews about this book. This is not the way America has always operated. We've always stood behind our president, no matter what our differences are.
Can I address that gerrymandering thing that someone just said?
Yes.
Okay. See, that would have never happened had we had not only the Republicans, the Tea Party, but also the liberals in our party had not dogged this president so much and during his first 2 years, 2.5 years in office.
Well, I agree with you because we didn't turn out in big enough numbers, and that's how they got in, and then they were able to gerrymander.
Yeah. There's also still the voting machines, too.
Brad, but Tracy, you know, I totally agree with you that now we are seeing. You wonder how bad could it get, well, this is how bad. This is how bad, and I do agree that's part of it. You know, the liberals thought he wasn't doing enough or fast enough, and screw him, I'm going to stay home. This is how bad it could get. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow. She just never shuts up.
All right. Happy shutdown day, everybody. And we are dancing on the debt ceiling. I see what you did there because we're getting ready to, it's getting ready to
what?
Blow. We're, well, this is merging and going to merge into the debt ceiling crisis.
Did you think that was dancing on the ceiling?
Yes.
No, that was Caravan Girl by Goldfrapp.
Oh, well, it's close enough.
We're in the caravan ceiling.
Right.
I
okay.
thought it was.
Sure.
Sounded like it.
No.
No?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Didn't even really sound like it.
No. Not really.
Okay.
No.
All right, Robin Thicke. Whatever. Your song is nothing like whatever. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free, the president. Yesterday.
I wish they were spending more time focusing on how to grow jobs in the economy as opposed to having to spend time figuring out how they manage a government shutdown.
By the by, our buddy John Favreau, mm-hmm. who was, you know, the president's speechwriter, he wrote a great piece in the Daily Beast that he had, he was the president's speechwriter. He had a speech written for if we defaulted on the debt ceiling mm-hmm. the last time.
Yep.
That was terrifying and that he, thank God, that the president didn't have to give. But he made a good point that I don't even know if people are aware of this. Their decision to negotiate at the brink under the dark cloud of uncertainty still led to real economic damage. The stock market had the worst single day since the 2008 financial crisis, plunging 635 points. Billions in higher borrowing costs were added to the national debt.
Great.
Fiscal conservatives, hello. Economic growth slowed, job growth slowed, and for the very first time, the U.S. lost its AAA credit rating. And somebody said this morning, a credit expert, this is why. This is why this happened and will happen again.
Yep.
But Wall Street's going to be just fine. All those.
They said House Republicans, incredibly insanely, we find ourselves a few weeks away from the same self-inflicted fiasco just 2 years later. And again, we need to point out the reality of that. A vote to raise the debt limit will not cost taxpayers a single dime. A vote to raise the debt limit will not grow our deficit by a single dime. A vote to raise the debt limit will not give the president or Congress the ability to spend any new money whatsoever.
We've been through this already.
These are incontrovertible facts. A failure to raise the debt limit, however, will lead to an economic shutdown that will cause financial hardship and even ruin for millions of Americans.
Fantastic.
Right.
Good plan.
He finishes with a great point. From budgets and taxes to Syria and Iran, the president has showed he will negotiate on almost any issue with anyone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But he will not, he cannot negotiate with a roving band of anarchists who say, build our oil pipeline or the troops don't get paid. Give us tax cuts for the rich or seniors don't get their Social Security checks. Let insurance companies do as they please or the economy gets it.
Yeah.
John says this isn't that isn't democracy. That isn't America.
It's a hostage situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Throughout history, politicians of both parties have been able to argue their agendas fiercely, even nastily, and then accept the election day judgment of voters without resorting to extortion that threatens the economic destruction of their own country. A small faction of Republicans who represent an even smaller faction of Americans have now decided to reject this bipartisan legacy in favor of nihilistic madness. Mm-hmm. Or we can finally call these people what McConnell once gleefully acknowledged. They are hostage takers, unrepresentative of the once proud Republican Party and unfit to govern the greatest nation on earth. I this morning was thinking I've never wished my dad was around more to talk to him about what is this? What version of the Republican Party? He and Goldwater would not even, I don't think vague. I can't imagine that any decent person wanting to call themselves a Republican at this point.
They'd be Blue Dog Democrats now.
Yeah.
This is like bordering on treason.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, Tomosky goes farther, because this is not a hostage crisis. This is terrorism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is absolute terror. This is suicide bombing by people in our own government. The president.
I am not only open to, but eager to have negotiations around a long-term budget that makes sure that we're investing in middle-class families. But the only way to do that is for everybody to sit down in good faith without threatening to harm women and veterans and children with a government shutdown.
Well, here's my plan. The president can just suck it.
Right. Did you see, by the way, Jim Boehner doing the Obama impression yesterday on the House floor?
Oh, really?
Not very good.
No, no.
Computer says no.
I was talking to the president. The president said, and then he did a, I'm not going to negotiate. I was like, oh, that was, first of all, bad
really?
Impression.
We got Rich Little now for the Speaker of the House?
And he goes, oh, you know, that's not the way it works.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Carter.
I think it would look a little something like this.
If you...
didn't see Jim on the Ustream. He just pushed his, you know.
The Ustream cameras are down.
Right.
Because we have no Wi-Fi.
Because we have no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
He just pushed his lips up so they stick on his, you know, you used to do that in high school.
Teeth. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Pretty much so they stick on your teeth.
Wow.
Okay. By the way, he said, yeah, that's not the way it works. It's the way it's worked for 235 years till you got here, you orange hole.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Steph, you've gotten so profane.
And radical.
Radical.
You've been radicalized.
Matt in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to vent a little bit. Get it out.
Yeah.
I am a recent college graduate and just started my first job with our esteemed federal government.
Mm. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Good timing, really, good timing.
I never dreamed it would be. So I'm actually placed at a state agency here in Wisconsin. So most of my coworkers don't really know why I didn't show up to work this morning, which is a little awkward. But right. More importantly,
there's a lot of whispers of a drug problem going around now. I think that's on the blue stuff.
I got my first big payment for my private college loans coming up this month.
Great.
Yeah.
You'd think
not quite sure how I'm going to manage that one,
I know.
Given the fact that I won't be receiving my paycheck.
Well, congratulations. You are one of the real people that are having real consequences, as the president said.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Real people on the phone lines, not fictional people. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
You know, with a bully, you cannot let them slap you around, because they slap you around. Today, they slap you 5 or 6 times. Tomorrow, it's 7 or 8 times. We are not going to be bullied.
He may sound meek, but he is a
boxer.
He is a boxer.
Yeah.
He's a former boxer.
I think he could take Boner.
Yeah.
He's got a glass jaw, an orange glass jaw. filled with Fanta.
Yes. Fanta comes out.
Yeah.
He got
Fanta.
A bar fight. What the hell? Did somebody get knocked into the orange crush spigot?
My God, he's full of Fanta.
Jason in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just wanted to talk about that poll you were talking about where 36% of Americans would blame President Obama.
Well, that, you know, let's see, Jason. The other thing is that was yesterday. The Quinnipiac poll this morning, 72% of Americans do not want the federal government shut down over defunding Obamacare. So, I think as the reality sets in, the numbers are only going to go up.
Well, I just wanted to say I kind of find that absurd. It's a congressional issue. The president has no power to shut down the government. And there was another poll that came out stating more Americans agree with the term Affordable Care Act over Obamacare. So it's just kind of absurd that, you know, all this stuff is going on.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think people are going to find that. They're going to be like, hey, I just got affordable care. This doesn't taste like Obamacare. What the hell? This wasn't what... I mean, this is exactly what they're afraid of.
Doesn't taste like Fanta?
Senator Chuck Schumer yesterday on the Senate floor.
Speaker Boehner is like the ancient Mayans, making a sacrificial offering to the right-wing gods by refusing to accept a clean CR.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly what the... Mayans. Well,
close enough, Chuck.
I get his point. I get the point.
Okay. Close enough, Chuck.
Yes, the Mayans weren't big on CRs, clean CRs.
Pyramids.
They're big on pyramids.
Yes. They called them maze.
What?
I don't know what I meant by that. Tim in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Stephanie?
Yes, Tim.
I really believe that the Republicans think that Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, as it should be called, mm-hmm. is actually a very good thing that's going to be very popular with the American people.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
well, you don't get this desperate if you don't, Tim.
Exactly. Otherwise, if they thought it was as bad as they're trying to convince people of, then the Republicans would stand out of the way and say, hey,
right.
enjoy your Affordable Care Act. Because then we would all realize how terrible it is, and in the next election, we're all going to vote for Republicans because they were right all along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Boy, a lot of analogies going around, but another piece in the Daily Beast, Republicans blaming their victims. It's like, and they just talk about bullies, but you can, wife beaters, you can, you know, apply it to anything. You're like, oh, look what you made me do. Oh, you know, it's your fault.
Stop hitting yourself.
Right.
Why are you hitting yourself?
Daily Beast saying bullies of all stripes are prone to blaming their victims. I wouldn't have to hit you if you would just give me your money and so on. This includes the House Republican caucus after provoking confrontation over the Affordable Care Act and threatening to shut down the government if it isn't defunded or delayed. Republicans are now blaming Democrats. I read the whole Ted Cruz on Meet the Press. If Harry Reid forces a government shut, he thinks if he just keeps saying it, must have said Harry Reid, I don't know, 40 times on Meet the Press. Likewise, Texas Republican Michael Burgess, I think the ball will be firmly in Harry Reid's court. If he wants to shut it down, that's his business. House Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy said it's the Senate's responsibility to agree to the House resolution and fund the government. We will pass a bill that will keep the government open, that will reflect with the House that I believe the Senate can accept, that will have a fundamental change in Obamacare that can protect the economy.
Blah, blah.
Oh, patronizing. Condescending. Republicans, by the way, have been plotting a shutdown for much of the last month. To suddenly switch gears and say the Democrats are to blame for refusing to touch the Affordable Care Act is the legislative equivalent of quitting a game of basketball where the other side won't give you 10 additional points. Indeed, to extend the analogy, as if the GOP is behind but doesn't want to do the work to win a lead. Instead, it would rather sabotage the game and try to extort its way to victory. Let's see. According to a latest poll from CNN, 69% of Americans say congressional Republicans are acting like spoiled children. As I was saying, I think two realities today. The exchange is open. People are going to start seeing how great a deal Obamacare is going to be for them in a lot of individual instances. And secondly, they're going to see that the government was shut down while we're trying to stop this. So good luck. Good luck to all y'alls. Jane in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. I don't know if you caught Rachel Maddow last night, but she had a whole segment of how these Republicans that are in now planned this for years. That's what they ran on. That's what they were voted on, to shut the government down. They wanted this from the very beginning.
Yeah. That's exactly what was...
They're anarchists.
Right. Nihilist, anarchist, terrorist. Sure. Pick your ist. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Debt.
Oh, I get it. Now we're dancing on the debt ceiling.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get it. Okay. Awesome. No. Happy shutdown day. Yeah. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce joins us next hour, and Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky to talk about WTF. Okay, John Boehner.
We're going to move here in the next several hours to take the Senate bill, add to it a one-year delay of the individual mandate on the American people, and get rid of the exemption for members of Congress.
You don't get to pick through bills, laws, that have already been passed 3.5 years ago. Pick out the things that you don't like, that you lost the first time it was voted on. I did hear, my old friend Aaron Burnett on CNN yesterday was saying to some Republican congressperson, but you lost. You already voted on this. This is what the law is. You don't get to go back now, particularly after Supreme Court ruling into elections.
Fuck it.
Right. Well, they can. But apparently, according to the polls this morning, they do not want to.
No.
Boner.
It's time for the Senate to listen to the American people, just like the House has listened to the American people, and to pass a one-year delay of Obamacare and a permanent repeal of the medical device bill.
That's what the people want.
Excuse me?
The people in my head are talking to me.
I love the fact that we do on the show, like, as a joke, that Boner's constantly really drunk, and then the reporters this weekend said... Yeah. All the Congress people were pretty much drunk.
Pretty drunk.
Yeah.
I didn't tell her my slurs and essence.
And it was only 9 o'clock at night.
Right. While they're doing the people's business. Yeah. Okay, Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Buddy.
Mama, all I can think of right now is what the great Chris LaVoie says. Erp derp.
Oh, my God.
I woke up last night on my couch at 1 in the morning to hear Boehner staggering out and goes, well, the first thing I'm going to try to do is we're going to have a joint negotiation with the Senate over this bill in the morning.
Right. Don't you love how he tries to make it look like he's the one being reasonable? All I'm having for is a conference where we could just sit down and, like, you don't get to sit down and discuss or negotiate over a law.
The House and Senate have negotiations all the time where they mark up bills, freaking bills. Right. It's a law. You don't get up, go back and change the law. This is like if you and a partner get naked and bump ugly, and then afterwards you say, oh, I don't know if we should have had sex.
Mm. Well, God. Now you've taken me to a totally different place. All right. Michael Tomosky, who I want to date and kiss and marry.
Mm-hmm.
We said this, there is no other way to say it. You got to stop splitting hairs. Republicans aren't hostage takers, they're political terrorists. Today's Daily Beast. Today's Republicans will never release the hostage. Instead, they're intent on taking down Obama. They don't care if they go down with him. That is a suicide bomber. That is not a hostage taker. He just says it best, as he always does. They know they're going to bear the brunt of the blame if the government shuts down. At least some of them do. The ones who have the ability to think beyond the boundaries of their districts. And the thing is, they don't care. As long as they can drag Obama and the Democrats down with them, dropping in the polls is fine with them. This is the mentality of terrorists.
Yep.
It's naive to call them anything else. What they're doing here is not hostage-taking, the most commonly used metaphor in the media. It's political terrorism. When hostage-takers see that their demands are met, they release the hostage. What makes anyone think today's Republicans will ever release the hostage? No, if the Democrats agree to negotiate, the demands will never stop. Every pivot point on the legislative calendar will be an opportunity to make demands without precedent in our system. He says as long as they can drag Obama down with them, they'll take the hit. This is exactly the mentality of the suicide bomber. I will die, but I'm taking some infidels with me. And to them and their base, Obama is the biggest infidel of all, and Obamacare the biggest impiety. There's no surer way to get away with criminality than accuse your political opponents of exactly the criminality that you're committing. And that's what they keep doing. I saw that on I don't know how many channels. It's not ready for prime time. We're just trying to protect the American people. Why won't the president be reasonable? Why won't the president be reasonable? We're being reasonable.
As reasonable as kamikaze pilots get.
Right.
Sure.
Tomosky says, so of course John Boehner said over the weekend, if it fails to accept the House's terms, we will be deliberately bringing the nation to the brink of government shutdown for the sake of raising taxes on seniors' pacemakers and children's hearing aids. Kevin McCarthy said, we will not shut the government down. And of course Rand Paul said, we are the party that's willing to compromise. They're the party that says, no way, we're not touching Obamacare.
Because it's the law!
Get good day, sir! You get nothing! You lose! 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour, the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by 4Film Classic Rolls Limousine LA.com. Rent a 34 Rolls Royce built for a London Lord Mayor and father-in-law of the rankiest of all producers, J. Arthur Rank. Fees feed the needy in LA, actors or not. 310-FAN-3430. That's 310-FAN-3430.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Jim Ward. Yay. Well, happy shutdown day, everybody. This just in, the Senate has just rejected the House's request for a conference? Yes.
You lose! Good day, sir!
Yes, nothing. You get nothing. A conference. They want to have a conference to discuss a law that was passed 3.5 years ago.
Well, no, the conference meaning the official meeting to reconcile the two sides.
Sure.
Yes.
Right, the side that's completely woo-hoo!
Yes.
and the side that lives in the room.
So they can discuss the terms of their surrender.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Was it Harry Reid or President Obama said yesterday, we don't have conference with a gun to our head.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of which, I have a guess the quote. Jim, who said, Senator Rand Paul said, we're the party that's willing to compromise. They're the party that says, no way. We're not touching Obamacare. You don't even need to read Orwell to know these people are quasi-totalitarian statements that depend on obfuscation, rely on the gullibility of the listening public. The obfuscators all know very well that most Americans won't stop to realize that their position is a scandal to begin with. They're trying to undo a law that was duly passed and then upheld by the Supreme Court as if that were normal in American politics, as if it should be considered an acceptable tactic on its face. And they know that some Americans, I don't think most in this case, will stupidly and dismissively assign equal blame to both sides. Who said that?
Fred Allen.
No.
Why, if it isn't Mrs. Nussbaum? You were expecting maybe Weinstein Churchill?
No, Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast.
You were expecting maybe Emperor Shapiro Hito?
And by the way, thank goodness, the poll this morning, the latest poll out, Quinnipiac, 72% of Americans do not want the government shut down.
Right.
Over trying to defund Obamacare, which is the law of the land. Okay. Eric Cantor, who has a particular bitch face this morning.
The House is going to take a position today reflecting one very fundamental principle that our country stands for. No special treatment for anyone.
Huh? Mm-hmm. What?
He's talking about the president gave a...
Well, he was talking about the congressional exemption. That's the Republicans in the House are trying to get rid of the congressional exemption.
Explain that, though, because, of course, that's like another ridiculous non-issue.
Yeah, that was put in there by
Republicans.
A Republican senator who was trying to get the Democrats to vote against it. But the Democrats called their bluff, and so it's in there because of a Republican in the first place.
All right. And here is Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, with the latest version of, I know you are, but what am I?
To me, it looks like the Democrats here in the Senate and the president actually are sort of anxious to have a shutdown.
Right, right.
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No. You're doing that.
Yes.
Sure, I know you are. Okay. Janet in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Janet.
Hey. Really interested in calling you today on the birthday of the national parks.
Oh,
and
right.
Actually a very sad day here in Western North Carolina in Asheville because our Tea Party representatives, Mark Meadows and McHenry, have voted to shut down the government. And in the process, I don't think the dummies realized that they were shutting down the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is our number one tourism attraction in Western North Carolina, the livelihood of most of the people here. People have to realize that when there is a national park, a lot of people live off of the tourism.
Right.
We get 9 million visitors to the Blue Ridge Parkway. And thanks to our dumb Tea Party members here, Mark Meadows and McHenry, we now have our number one livelihood shut down.
Good plan.
Well done. Nicely done. Thank you, Republicans. Oh, by the way, Sarah Palin chimed in, Jim.
Also, which means, Yobacha.
Right. She actually, there actually is an also two in here. She is now doing your impression of her, as most people do. She was on Gretchen Carlson's new show, Please and Thank You, on the Fox News. For Palin, it all came down to an analogy about flushing dogs.
Huh?
What?
Dogs in flushing New York?
Right, an analogy that none of the rest of us understand, but is meant to be folksy and sort of, you know, country-like and sort of those what us real people talk like out in the hinterlands and all. Okay, Jim, only you can save us by reading the actual... Make sure we can hear all the words because they're all equally important.
That's a good term when you apply it to someone like Senator Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, others who are all literally trying to flush out those other politicians who are in hiding. They're kind of in the woods, hiding behind symbolic votes that don't mean anything, instead of standing up and fighting for Americans. In this case, we're talking about the Americans who understand the soaring costs of Obamacare and the huge government intervention that will be a result of Obamacare in our business and our individual lives, and that will suffocate enterprise and industry. So flushing dogs are those who get out there and make these politicians, in this case, come out from hiding and stand tall and fight for what's right.
Huh?
Okay. Thanks. Now it all makes sense to me.
Does she ever stop to breathe?
No.
Ted Cruz is. He's Sarah Palin with a as someone said yesterday. Okay. Bill in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I wanted to call and just, you know, tell you how much I do not appreciate them holding us political and economic hostages here. I don't appreciate them holding my children hostage. I don't appreciate them holding myself hostage.
May I correct you? They are not holding your children hostage. They are trying to blow your children up. There is a difference. They are suicide bombers. They are no longer hostage takers. They are no longer just regular terrorists. They are suicide bombers.
Exactly. They ought to be tried for treason. They have effectively mm-hmm. weakened our country. They've embarrassed us in the world. They've refused to do their job, and I think if any of the rest of us had done the same, we would be unemployed.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
We should be able to fire them all.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? When I'm having my Chardonnay later, I'm going to read that Sarah Palin thing over and over again.
Don't.
Just because it's...
Don't. Because then you get a hangover.
There's so many words, and they don't really go together.
No.
Okay.
It's just sounds that come out of her mouth.
Exactly. It's like Mars Attacks. That's all I really hear.
Just diarrhea of the mouth.
Neil in Orange County. Hi, Neil.
Hey, you guys are wondering how in the world this makes sense from a strategy perspective and that this is unprecedented. Well, it's not unprecedented. The right wing has done this to countries in Central and South America for decades.
Mm.
This is their way of undermining democratic governments.
Right.
They would like to make everybody miserable economically. They're basically trying to undermine the economy.
It's like Chile.
And that's why they don't actually want Obamacare to shut down. They need it to be going so that when they wreck the economy, they can blame it on Obamacare.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, and so you're exactly correct. They are trying to undermine the economy, but that's the point.
Right.
You know, they'd like everybody to suffer. And it's basically just punishment. It's punishing the American people for questioning what they consider.
Yes, for electing the president in two landslides and a Democratic Senate.
It's like when we overthrew Allende.
Huh? Yeah. Catherine in Madison. Hi, Catherine. Yeah. Hey, Kath.
Hi, morning, Steph.
Morning.
You know, it's actually sedition. I think we could get them on sedition charges. You know, I've been watching the outline of this and the steps, and Marshall McLuhan said that we were going to have information wars, and this is what's been going on. You know, Karl Rove has a campaign strategy. There's a paper that's called Karl Rove Campaign Tactics and Response Strategies by Art Silverblatt. And it shows every one of these illogical things that we've seen them do, like making your strength into a weakness.
Right.
And it's to read that, I mean, we could call each of our senators, everyone out on what they're doing if you take a look at this paper. Also, for a laugh,
mm-hmm.
call John Boehner's office. And it's 202-225-0600. And press and ask for him directly, and you'll get his message. You'll just go flat on the floor laughing, and plus you can say what you think.
All right, we may do that.
Sure.
We may do that. Let's take that number down. All right.
I'll just leave my message in his own voice.
Beep.
Hey, you got any more bourbon? Because yeah. I'm thirsty.
What does that sound like, Jim? Oh,
This is John Boehner, and you just suck it.
You can leave a message with Jim if you want, but I don't give a...
I don't give a crap about any of you.
Probably took him longer to record that than my mom did, her home
yeah.
machine.
Oh, dear.
Because there's a lot of you know, bumbling and sort of...
Oh, dear. I don't...
And talking to my brother. Bill, I don't understand. Okay.
Your mother and the technology...
I told you she doesn't even understand when she calls my machine.
Yeah.
I told you what I heard last time. She's all I hear is, oh dear. Well, I wanted to talk to her directly, Bill. I don't. I said to my brother, Mom, she can hear you now. Steffi, it's Mom. Call me back. Okay, I just imagine, because and my phone are on top of it.
Sure.
Really drunk while I was trying to record the outgoing message.
Well, this is Generalissimo Juan Boehner. You're welcome to suck it.
Salon with a piece, how the right sees the shutdown debacle. While polling may show the American people will blame Republicans, which they do, according to Quinnipiac this morning, the sentiment among the right-wing media is hardly one of universal concern or agitation. Yeah, the fact that they describe this as glee, giddy.
Yeah.
Brooks were giddy about this when they came out of conference.
They turned into Geddy Lee?
Right. In the right's eyes, the shutdown is both a Democratic plot to trick the public and undo the GOP and potentially a good thing for the economy. Breitbart, there's as Salon says, an extremely sunny analysis of how brinkmanship over a government mm-hmm. shutdown or debt default will affect the GOP. Well, good luck. Good luck with that.
Great.
Let us know how that works out. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up, Representative John Yarmuth. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from any work. Charlie Pierce with some great stuff at Esquire.com. Of course, we will talk to him in just a few minutes on his take on this whole mishigas, as we say. Oh, we just read Sarah Palin's take, which helps make it much clearer for
nobody.
Absolutely nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
Something about flushing dogs, Jim. Or
whatever.
Something. Some sort of folksy.
Dogs from Flushing, New York?
Something. No. Something. Something. All right. There's nobody that can explain America.
I think it's
better than Caribou Barbie.
Chasing birds.
The story of America. By the time the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower and invented moving and storage, right, everyone knew that America would be special. But then the king exfoliated tyranny and everyone's tea was taxied and Sam Adams saw an opportunity to sell beer and told Paul Revere and the Raiders to tell everyone the British were coming. But Jiminy Crockett and David Bowie fought bravely and defended the Alamo against Hertz and Avis.
Right.
Now our freedoms are threatened by the tyranny of people who think they're better than you just because they can spell correctly and don't use all caps. They're everywhere and hold little regard for those of us rugged individuals who aren't fettered by barbed wire fences or the full length of their terms. America is truly a land of opportunity, and with your help, we can make sure our children have the same rights to obesity, rabid ignorance, semi-automatic rifles, and mediocre reality TV that we have. God bless everyone.
Oh.
Thank you.
Except there weren't enough random words.
Thank you, Milfy McMooseburger. We miss ye. Jason in D.C. Hello, Jason. Okay. Welcome. Hi, Jason.
So that's ready to go.
Okay. Jason is echoing under his bridge.
Jason's talking to a client.
Hello, Jason.
How are you? Hey, I just wanted to talk about the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm all for it going through, but the right thing I want is I don't want any exceptions going through.
Right.
I don't want any delays.
Well, because you're in charge of things.
Right now.
Right. You're in charge of everything.
No. I mean, but here's the idea. They're using these as tactics. And the idea is this. Look, you cannot
Jason, do you think there's been any major program, Medicare, Social Security, anything in the history of our country, any program of that size that has not been tweaked or
No. I'm not talking about the tweaking. I'm talking about the delaying. I'm saying it should be rolled out across the board right away. I don't like this idea of delaying it for a year.
Well, the
right
Republicans
now
are trying to delay it.
I understand what you're talking about. I think that's the wrong strategy. I think what we should do is have everybody feel what it's like to be in the care. There you go, right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have, though, is you can't have exemptions on this because this is what happens. Large businesses.
Well, you can because the president is able to do that. We have done it with every.
That's what's wrong with the policy. The exemption.
Okay. The Republicans are not interested in trying to fix.
I'm not a Republican.
I'm not saying I don't even care what you are exactly. My point is, the Republicans are not interested in any of that. They are interested in, as they have said over and over and over, they are interested in decimating this.
Yes.
In repealing it. This is just one step. They're not interested
all right
in.
We'll just go straight to single payer then.
Yeah, there
like
you go.
They do in civilized
good
countries.
Nicely done.
Exemptions were put in for extremely large companies who have a really
and
huge battleship to turn around. And
right
so they gave them a little bit longer to implement it, so it'll be implemented properly.
And by the way, we can argue whether the president should have. Jackie Schechner said she didn't think he should have. So, okay. But, you know, he did. And it is, by the way, Rand Paul or whatever douche nozzle's been on TV. He can do that. Mm-hmm. He's the president. He has. That's what you're doing is without precedent. Not tweaking a giant program like. Okay. I'm fine. Aww. Am I an essential worker? Can I go home?
You are.
I'm kind of non-essential here,
no,
aren't I?
No, you're not.
Okay.
Your name is on the show.
What's
up? My name is not on the show, but
all
I can't leave.
Well, you can go.
Oh, really?
No. Chris and Jim will run the board.
I think I just sequestered myself.
Yeah, Jim will run the board. That's good.
You know what, April Fools, you should switch jobs, and you should do the impressions,
right.
And you should run the board.
You really want that.
And you know what? It'll run like Congress.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
Sure.
Oh, look.
You'll sequester us after 5 minutes.
Didn't that happen one time way back in the old days when Jim was sick, and you actually had to do a voice, and we finished the bit, and I was like, you suck.
I think that's happened once or twice.
Oh, that was awful. Just the worst voice work I ever heard.
I think you're right.
That was worse than Sean Hannity. Chris
and that's when we called in the guy who did Horse Shack.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a real conversation. We were like, well, what impressions do you do, Horse Shack? We were like, whoa, wow,
that was already dated in the
90s. That's not in the news now. Okay, Chris in Pennsylvania. Hello, Chris.
Hello, good morning. And I'm just surprised that everybody is surprised that the Republicans wanted to shut down the government. If you read their so-called...
Only Gomer Pyle is surprised.
Yeah, well, that too, but
yeah,
they've been saying starve the beast ever since Reagan was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I was quoting
him. Their endgame is to shut down the government and, you know, just completely disband it if they can get away with it.
No, you're absolutely right, and someone was mentioning Rachel Maddow did a piece, and someone else wrote a piece today that we were quoting, that they have been planning this for months. This is not some sort of last-minute
surprise. The scariest
word
you'll ever hear is, I'm from the government... I'm here to help.
Right. Okay. Jim read a great Reagan quote yesterday about how, about them threatening to shut down the government over something and how irresponsible that is.
Crapping a pineapple?
No, that's something different. I said last hour. No.
Or pining a crap apple.
Which is worse. Ozzy in Chicago. Hi, Ozzy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey. Listen, I just think that a lot of this blame has to also go to the corporate media because they keep on trying to equivocate and say, you know, who's at fault? Who's at fault? Last night, Piers Morgan on CNN was asked, he had four panelists and asked, who's really to blame here?
I'm looking at the Chiron right now on CNN, the blame game continues. It's not a game. This is not a game. Game, or if it is, it's game over. Game over, man.
Game over, man. Game over.
29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What kind of girl do you think I am?
I don't know. You look like the kind of girl who brings down congressmen.
It's me. I did it. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Why, if only the president and Boner had thought of it. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Although Boner probably doesn't use an iPad because it would be like orange where he touches the screen.
Yeah.
Like someone with Cheetos.
Why is my screen all orange?
Right.
Cheeto dust.
Right. Not his
screen. I blame the president.
Exactly. I blame Obama for having to touch the actual screen. That was not a good thing for him. All right.
I blame Obama for our Wi-Fi being down today.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Thanks, Obama.
Right? My internet went out yesterday, so I knew I knew the...
And who did you call first?
You.
Yes, of course you did.
Hello, tech support. All right. Well, there's only one man that can break it down. There's only one man now that understands.
That's the man.
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Oh, my gosh. Everything's so funny today.
Hey.
Oh, boy. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was fascinated by the Wi-Fi problems.
Oh, yes.
I love sharing your daily lives. One of the highlights of my
life. Also yesterday I had to have the vet come because Fred got in a fight with a raccoon or a possum
whatever.
Or something, and had a gash under his eye. It looked like a bar fight.
Yeah, but is Fred like as big as a UPS truck?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, must have been a big ass possum or something. Yeah. So Charlie Pierce, what can we say this morning? It hasn't been said. Here we are.
Big-ass possums.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you pointed out, let's see. Let's start with Representative Mike Pompeo of Republican of Kansas. He said, you quote him, "All we're asking is to delay other pieces like the individual mandate that will affect low-income people in Kansas. Delay it for a year." And as you helpfully point out, how did Mike Pompeo vote a couple of weeks ago when the House decided we should cut $4 billion a year from the food stamp program? There are nearly 320,000 low-income people in Kansas who depend on the SNAP program. He voted for that. Oh, that's so weird. That's almost slightly hypocritical.
Yeah, it was interesting. We had him talking about low-income Kansas. We had Ted Cruz talking about his great fear for labor unions. Up is down. Down is up. Dogs and cats living together. You know what I mean? It's mass insanity.
Dogs living with possums and raccoons or whatever. Charlie, when I saw
Ted... Poor Fred.
Poor Fred.
I mean, all the other really big dogs are going to laugh at him now.
He's fine.
They're all going to laugh at you.
It's like getting beat up by a girl, you know? It's like King Scott Brown. It's terrible.
Yeah. It was one of those... It was one of those really expensive vet visits where they're like, "Oh yeah, no, just put some Neosporin on, it's fine." I'm like, "Oh, Fred, that's mommy's wine money." So Charlie, when I saw Ted Cruz on Meet the Press, I was like, "I'm going to need to read Charlie Pierce's breakdown of this because I cannot survive this alone." That, as you were saying, really just and you thought Mitt Romney was a startling liar. He is an unbelievably good liar.
The guy is an authentically dangerous person because he does not care, you know, whether you find him out or not. He's just going to move on to the next lie.
He has these
champion college debating skills that he learned, of course, at the high level Ivy that he went to.
Right, not one of the minors.
He has no patience for anybody who went to Cornell or anything.
No. You quote him, he said, "For all of us who want to see it repealed, simply delaying it for American families on the same terms as being done for big corporations, that's a compromise." And as you say, yeah, rather than putting a bullet through this hostage's brain, I'll starve him slowly over a year. Compromise. That's what it is.
Of course it is. I mean, this isn't delaying a year to get the glitches out. This is delaying a year so you can propagandize further against it.
And
the thing that is sitting out there and is not being emphasized enough, I don't think, believe it or not, because it should be the most obvious thing on the books, there's no plan on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming they get their way, we're back to the status quo.
Right.
Or the status quo ante, actually, where people are not covered for pre-existing conditions. You're 23, so you can't find a job in this wonderful economy that we have. You know, can't stay on your all the good stuff that the Republicans say they want to keep, that goes away too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And as you say, you had the audacity to bring up unions. That's why one union after another is saying, "Let me out." Unions are jumping ship. First of all, that's, as you say, completely untrue. Because they're complaining about a couple of provisions is not the same thing. You say, Ted Cruz, populist hero, friend of labor. How come his tongue didn't turn to fire remains a mystery? Actually,
one of my commenters pointed out that his tongue didn't turn to fire because his pants were already there.
But, I mean, and then you talk about him saying everything the president's done is a violation of law. Once again, completely untrue.
No, you get to execute the law. I mean, laws get rolled out, especially big laws, and there are glitches, and they have to be fixed. And they don't get fixed by acts of Congress. They certainly don't get fixed by acts of Congress acting in bad faith, which is what we have here.
Yeah.
Well, I think they want to execute the law, but in a bad way.
Exactly right.
Yeah. The last thing was my favorite that you quoted. Gregory said, "Do you regret comparing the future of Obamacare to the rise of Hitler in Nazi Germany?" Cruz, well, the premise of your question just isn't true. I didn't make that comparison.
Ted, dude, the camera is always on. You know?
I know. I mean, as you said about it earlier,
I can watch you say it on my telephone now.
As you say, you know, earlier in your post,
you guys can't because you have no Wi-Fi.
Right.
Rub it in.
Hey.
I think Chris is over there in the corner with his tool belt on and his hard hat.
Damn you,
I
Pierce.
I could still be working for Rush, damn it.
You say
that's a little known fact, by the way, that I found out about Chris LaVoie. He has worked the board for a lot of wingnuts in his life.
Oh God! Well, there was not such a thing as progressive radio a few years ago.
Well, I ran the board for Matt Drudge for a year and a half.
Yeah.
When he had a radio show.
Is that a metaphor?
Off the air, he was actually a nice guy. But
was he really?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
All right, we've gotten off track.
Yeah,
Charlie
sorry,
Pierce.
Go ahead.
First of all, I don't want to believe that. Okay, number one.
Yes. Also, the Führer was a fabulous dancer.
Yes, the Führer was a fabulous
I suppose,
dancer.
Yes, in that respect, yeah.
Charlie, what, somebody, a Republican congressman this morning on TV said, well, this is just going to roll into the debt ceiling fight, pretty much. This is a rolling calamity, isn't it?
As everyone on Wall Street breaks out the Cuervo gold and sculpts a handful of red.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know what to say anymore. That's what we were saying. It's hard to even know how to talk about this anymore. This is just...
The problem that there is, and I'm beating this with a tin drum, like a tin drum on the blog, because I think people should remember it, there's no Republican establishment anymore. There's nobody to rein these guys in. There's no one or two or five, you know, Jim Baker kind of power brokers who are going to say, hey, you know what? Wrecking the country is really not good politically.
Right.
All these people have independent bases of power now. Whether it's, you know, sugar daddy millionaires or, you know, sugar daddy billionaires really, or, you know, statesly gerrymandered districts. There's nothing anybody can do to punish these people. The only thing you can do to punish these people is vote them out, and that's becoming harder almost by the minute.
Well,
I wish I was more hopeful, but I'm not. I mean, that idiot down in Texas who compared what doing to what happened on 9/11 and Flight 93.
Oh, I know. I quoted him yesterday.
That should disqualify you from being the janitor in the public library, let alone a member of Congress.
Oh, he went on to compare himself to a general in the Civil War and one of the guys on Flight 93 that tried to stop the high. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to have one of them that stands out. As you said, these are not serious people, none of them. Kids, wait,
we have to wait on breakfast. Dad's upstairs licking the mirror again.
What's your best guess? Is this going to roll right into the debt ceiling fight?
I think this is going to be, conceivably, and I would not make book on this. There's absolutely no reason why these guys wouldn't leave the government shut down until Barack Obama leaves office. Who's going to stop them?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody. They're not listening to Boehner, and he's Patty Hearst in the bank at this point. I mean,
Tanya.
Yeah, you mean Tanya.
Yes. And unless he would,
John Boehner has passed into his Tanya phase.
And unless
he'll be making the very strange audio tapes being mailed to radio stations. Very.
And unless he wears white after Labor Day, and Kathleen Turner beats him to death in the bathroom, there's just no ending to this. That was from Serial Mom.
That's a reference I don't even know.
No, I don't.
That was Serial Mom. Patty Hearst was in Serial Mom.
Oh, okay.
The John Waters
right.
movie.
Yeah, is that the one where Kathleen Turner beat somebody to death with a pot roast?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, some other thing.
I forgot the title of it.
To the tune of Tomorrow by Annie. You know, from Annie.
Oh, God.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. Well, the sun won't come out tomorrow, and thanks for all your sunny optimism. Goodbye, Charlie.
What do you think the president will do?
I think he cannot.
I suggested a drone strike on Congress, but that's probably not going to go over.
You know, Jim's a little over the top. He can't. he can't negotiate on this. He just can't. I mean, this is you cannot set a precedent that you get to. You know, we get to now going forward just pick and choose laws that we don't like and cherry pick what we're going to take out of them after they've been passed.
Actually, what I think may happen, and this I don't know how whether this work or not. I think you may see the Democratic Senate now doing vote by vote, line by line, going through the sequester and making people vote to like not fund Alzheimer's research.
Oh, okay.
That.
Yeah.
This is just legislative shenanigans that doesn't solve the problem, which is basically that one half of the American political system has lost its mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has, you know, as I said today,
well,
it has
one nice part of one half. It's just the tea party.
Yeah, but enough, but enough to have, you know, the entire party has prion disease, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in 1980, they elected Ronald Reagan and started eating the monkey brains, and now it's finally coming to them.
Yes, another. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Charlie, that was uplifting. I love you. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
If there is a week. All right.
If there is a next week. Yeah.
Yeah, if there is a next week.
What?
Hit the lights on your way out of America. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, this hour brought to you by Carbonite. All right, I'm apparently losing it.
You think?
And this started yesterday before the shutdown. I told you my internet went out, mm-hmm. So I was waiting for the company, you know, the phone company, because they said, oh, between 12 and, you know.
Yeah, 12 and Thursday.
Year, the year, right.
12 and
ought.
2048.
Right. And then also the vet, because Fred had a fight with a, I don't know, something.
Whatever.
Republican.
With a creature.
Something vicious.
Yeah.
Republican possum.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I don't know. Exactly.
Velociraptor.
Who knows what's out there? Oh, and then in the middle of all that, they called from CNN Headline News to see if I wanted to be on Jane Velez Mitchell yesterday to discuss the shutdown.
On her? What?
Sorry. No. What? No. And I couldn't. Anyway, they want to know if I can do it today.
Are you going to be on Jane Velez Mitchell today?
I might be. Stop it.
Okay.
To talk about this whole shutdown. The blame game. Okay.
Who are you blaming?
God, it's so hard. Let me think. Okay.
American people can just suck it.
Right. Steve in Seattle. Hello. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm a doctor, and I might have to cut off in a minute because Obamacare might have to call me.
Ah! All right. Okay. Yes, doctor.
Small business owner also.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, back to seriousness. I don't like to post on Facebook, but I've been posting about Obamacare, telling people to go to their Washington Health Benefit Exchange, and, oh, God, I just starting to get into it with a few doctor friends that I have, and they're saying, you know, how could you support this crap, and how could you, you know, give any kind of credence to this stuff, and most people are against Obama, most people are against
No.
The Affordable Care Act.
No.
It's ridiculous. So it's just, I'm just very grateful for you and the audience out there.
Well, don't your doctor colleagues realize that this is potentially going to give them new customers because more people will be on insurance and can afford health care?
They will have, what's it called? Oh, Affordable Care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree. You know, and I just started my own practice about 18 months ago. I worked for a big corporation up until then for about 10 years. And I found out that, you know, Medicare is actually very easy to work with, apart from applying for my Medicare number, which actually was a nightmare. And if you want to change any details of your, you know, adding in people to your providers' practice, that's difficult. But as far as working with them and getting paid, they're the best.
Right. That's what Jackie Schechner has always said.
Yeah. And the insurance companies, all the big providers out there that are, you know, billionaire, you know, they provide multi-billionaire profits, you know, to all their stockholders.
Right.
They're the most difficult to work with, and they constantly try to reject us. They constantly find reasons to delay our payments. And
I've talked to my own doctor about my allergy doctor that I've been to. I mean, he was just saying it's ridiculous what he has to deal with just to get a certain whatever medication that he thinks is best for something through. So it's the insurance companies. I mean, that's what Jackie Schechner was saying. The doctors love dealing with Medicare because they get paid.
Medicare for all.
Thank you. It's the only answer. Oh, it was actually a real doctor, I think, because most real doctors do not call from surgery to do right-wing talking points.
Where good doctors have bold ideas.
Voucher Hospital.
Brought to you by Filner Spittoons with state-of-the-art saliva collection technology.
Doctor, we have an emergency. A patient with an acute subdural hematoma.
That's right, doctor. He has increased intracranial pressure, hemorrhaging of the temporal parietal locus, and must undergo endoscopic surgery immediately.
Yes, I concur. Prep for surgery at once.
Wait, doctor. There's a discussion about Obamacare on AM radio.
Damn it. I must take this. Everyone stand by.
But, doctor, what about the patient?
You don't understand. I'm a surgeon who listens to both sides and stumbled upon this argument on my way to surgery. I must respond. Nurse, give me that phone.
Nurse, give him that phone stat.
Tune in to Voucher Hospital next time to see if Obamacare covers Obama derangement syndrome.
Jen in Fresno. Hi, Jen. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. I've heard the latest lies out here in, redneck Fresno. Come 7 o'clock this morning, a guy was already on Facebook claiming that he had tried to go to the exchange site and that the site told him he was too poor to apply for Medi-Cal. So me, being the nice, kind liberal that I am, I went to coveredca.com for him, and I plugged in, assuming he says he's low income, and I looked up when he graduated high school, so I figured he's about 60. And I was even being nice, and I put his income at $18,000 and put in his zip code. It told him that he qualified for premium assistance, which is not Medi-Cal by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
I'm just astounded by these lies that they continue to tell.
Well, that was awfully nice of you, Jennifer.
I'm just a good-hearted person. What can I say?
I'm sure he appreciated it.
Oh, I'm sure he won't.
Yeah. All right. Roman. Yes.
Fresno. It's not as bad as Stockton.
Excuse me. Roman in Chicago. Hi, Roman.
Oh, God. Hi. How are you guys?
It's Orr Barstow. What? Hi, Roman.
Hi. Stephanie, I would love to hear you sing a jingle for Carbonite. I think that'd be really fun.
I'm going
to
do that next because I'm getting loopy with this shutdown.
Carbonite.
Can I get Carbonite Dancers?
I'm 26. I'm calling from Chicago. I work in a law office, and I'm not as well-versed on the economy as you guys, but I feel like we're at a civil war here. I don't want to compare this to any war that we've had, any actual war.
Right. Oh, please compare yourself to one of the generals like some Republican did yesterday.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and it doesn't feel good. Hey, all right now, and it doesn't feel good.
Why not? Happy shutdown day, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, he's our favorite chuckly congressman, but I'm guessing not feeling very chuckly today, the great John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. Good morning, Representative Yarmuth.
Hey, Stephanie. It's been a long time.
Oh, my gosh. Living the dream there in Washington, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What can you even say today? Did you think we were going to get here, first of all?
Actually, I've been saying for about a month that I thought we were going to go to a shutdown. I saw it coming, and there's just, we've got leadership in the House Republicans that is really not interested in governing. And unfortunately, we talk a lot about the Hastert rule where the former speaker wouldn't bring anything to the floor unless he had a majority of the majority. Boehner's actually expanded that, and he won't bring anything to the floor unless it has an all Republican votes to pass. So he's actually, this isn't a formal rule, but he won't bring anything to the floor unless he can get 217 or 18 votes for it, which makes that small contingent of Tea Party extremists puts them in control.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a time like this for so many reasons, but that for some reason Ted Cruz, who's a senator, is running the House, basically, right?
Yep. Oh, well, that's very true, and It's really sad. I mean, there were estimates last night that there were 125 or more Republicans who were willing to vote for a clean budget, a continuing resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And So, and, you know, there would have been 180 or so Democrats would have voted. That would have been 300-plus votes, and Boehner wouldn't bring that to the floor because he's afraid of this small group of people. And Cruz is the ringleader. I mean, he's over here lobbying House members during the week. And the whole exercise was pointless. That's the biggest source of frustration.
Well, Congressman,
there was no point.
Congressman, we were saying earlier that you know, somebody wrote, the president has proved he is willing to talk to, negotiate with anybody, Syria, Iran, mm-hmm. The Republicans, time after time after time. And but we have reached it, haven't we? He simply cannot negotiate on this. I mean, talk about a precedent, right? That if we just say, okay, sure, any law that's been passed several years ago and upheld, you know, passed lawfully, upheld by the Supreme Court, you know, reaffirmed in two landslide elections, that we can just, you know, we could do this with any law for the rest of our history, correct?
Well, exactly, and I would add, and tried to repeal 44 times,
right?
unsuccessfully.
But so I mean, now, the fact they try to cloak this by seeming like the reasonable adults in the room are going, well, this is a compromise. All we're asking for is a delay. It's like, yeah. like you get to go back and negotiate laws that you already lost on, right?
Exactly right. They're living in a dream world where they just ignore the results of the election and ignore reality, basically. And, you know, I think part of the problem is they I think we all do this to a certain extent. But they all are existing in their own bubble, and they're talking to themselves, and they're in their own echo chamber, and a lot of them genuinely think that this is what the country believes. And, you know, I come from a state, obviously, where President Obama is not particularly popular, but we opened our exchange at 6 o'clock this morning, and they had already gotten, by 9:30, had gotten 24,000 visits. The exchange, and had already signed or taken 1,000 applications. That was in 3 hours. So we know that there are people who are going to respond to this, and that's clearly what the Republicans are afraid of.
Well, you heard the president tell the story, right, about the Kentucky State
Fair.
Oh,
yes, absolutely.
the guy, you know, going to the Obamacare, or the, you know, the Kentucky Care table and going, wow, this looks pretty good. This is a lot better than Obamacare.
I bet.
And the president's like, okay, I don't have pride of authorship in this. I just want to see it work.
Yeah. But,
right. Well, last year during my campaign, we polled my district, and we asked, do you support or oppose the Affordable Care Act? It was 55% support, 40% oppose. Then we asked, do you support or oppose Obamacare? And the numbers flipped.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, as we were saying, I'm sure you've seen them. The first polls out this morning, Quinnipiac, 72% of the American people do not want the government shut down over trying to defund Obamacare.
Right.
Is that going to have any effect on them at all, do you think?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. I think a lot of these House Republicans think that they will never pay a political price because they're in districts that are so safe. And they may be right about that. That may be the sad irony of this whole thing, is that they're basically doing this with impunity. You know, I still think there are enough swing seats that if the generic numbers are as bad next year as they are right now, where we have like a 9-point advantage, then I think we can take the House back. But some of these members are still going to, no matter how unpopular their position may be around the country, they still may survive in their own districts.
You know, I was telling the story that my dog Fred yesterday got in a fight with something, a raccoon, a possum, which, as you know, are dangerous when they're cornered. Now,
yes.
Republicans clearly seem to have no way out here, do they? I heard a Republican on TV this morning saying, well, this is, I think, just pretty much going to roll into the debt ceiling fight. And that is where the true worldwide calamity lays, doesn't it?
Of course. Of course. And I think there's not just because we would be jeopardizing the full faith and credit of the United States, but also the cumulative effect of all this stuff is that the financial world, the business community says we have a dysfunctional government, and they know that the federal government represents about 25% of the entire economy, and as it flows through the federal government. And when they see this kind of dysfunction, they're not going to do the kind of expansion and growth, try to seek the kind of growth that we need as a country. So it has the immediate effect is potential for raising interest rates and so forth, But more importantly, it's very, very destructive to the economy.
Yeah. Well, boy, I know it's like anybody's guess, but what do you see? Where and when, you know, do we go from here?
Well, I hate to put it on one person, but I really think this is John Boehner's time, and it's going to be up to him. He's going to have to demonstrate some leadership and say, I am the Speaker of the entire House, not just the Republican Conference, and I'm not going to take the country down with me for a bunch of ideologues and to save my job. Because unless he's willing to allow something to come to the floor on the debt ceiling, on the budget, that, you know, say, give us 50 Republicans out of your 230-some-odd, we'll provide all the rest of the votes, we can do business.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at CNN. It's about the same, 68. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 68, 70, 72%, whatever, in all the polls I've seen so far of the American people against this. And I think you're right. The pressure is just going to keep going higher and higher on Boehner. And that, how soon do we hit the debt ceiling? When is that debate going to have to be?
Well, the estimate is that we will hit the limit around October 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a week later, the first significant required expenditure comes up.
Right. So about two and a half weeks. About
2.5-3 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? How long is the government going to remain shut, do you think?
Well, I'm thinking, and, you know, since we're dealing with an irrational situation and irrational people, there's no way to make a rational prediction even. But I think 7 to 10 days is kind of my projection, and we'll try to wrap some kind of solution up with, including the debt ceiling.
Right.
That's kind of the best guess I would have.
It would have been like if I were there with Fred and the raccoon, and someone would have asked, and I would have said, "Well, I don't know. Is it rabid? I can't tell what he's going to do."
Yeah.
That's
right, exactly right. And you know, the dangerous thing about the debt ceiling vote is that people don't want to raise the debt ceiling. They don't understand it. Most Americans don't understand the debt ceiling, but when they hear that, oh, you're going to raise the debt ceiling, that's not like raising your credit limit. No, we don't want to do that. Well, it's not raising the credit limit. It's actually just figuring out how we're going to pay for the obligations that we voted on.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the Republicans all voted for the expenditures that they're now unwilling to pay, the American people don't necessarily see it that way. So they've got a little bit more air cover, I think, on the debt ceiling than they do on shutting the government down.
Yeah.
And the actual threat is much greater on them.
Oh, yeah. Well, John Boehner promised to write a whale of a fight. Like, he can't wait.
Yeah.
He thinks that's really his big, you know, bargaining chip. He's the full faith and credit of the United States. I don't know how. I mean, seriously, how do you get up and go to work these days? Really?
It wasn't easy this morning because we were here till like 1:30 last night this morning, so it was not. And I had an early morning on the Hill, so. But you know, just the effects of the shutdown are already so evident. I mean, there's a line. It takes 40 minutes at least now today to get into the office building here.
I saw the lines. Yeah.
And you know, it's just a mess. Of course, Washington is going to suffer more than just about anywhere else. But
yeah.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Well, I feel bad for all the tourists that came there to, you know, see the sights, and they paid all this money for a vacation, and now they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Capitals shut down to tourists, and it's sad.
Yeah. Well, Representative Yarmouth, good luck.
But I'll tell you one thing, Stephanie. The Bourbon Caucus, the Congressional Bourbon Caucus, has never been more important.
Yes.
There's that chuckle. Thank you, Representative. Talk to you again soon.
You bet. Take
All
care.
Right. There you go.
And just reading about it, this Australian tourist in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
So we can't even imagine not having a state-run health care system. I can't believe that this country is shutting down over the health.
Over getting health care. Right.
Right. It's completely bizarre but fascinating at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm translating from German. I'm
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. So. Thank you. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Not really.
If you're not into
Stephanie Miller.
If you have half a brain.
What was that?
I hit a button on my box.
I thought I was about to hear from Brian Williams.
No. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Here's a tweet. Inspectors charged with overseeing destruction of chemical weapons cross the border into Syria. Ah, good thing we left that to the UN and not to get approval from the United States Congress or anything to, you know, help the president in any way. Okay. All right. Oh, I found who represents the United States Congress. They are this Ukrainian couple.
Oh.
Ukrainian couple are hit by a train as they have sex on the tracks.
Oh.
It's the Republicans. Come on, it'll be fun. Come on, let's... Sorry, I can get hit.
A train track would probably be the least sexy place to have sex.
They were, like most Republican members of Congress, drunk. At the time.
Mm.
A thrill-seeking Ukrainian couple met a tragic end after they stopped on their way home to have sex on train tracks and were hit by...
a train.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right?
Yeah.
Oddly enough, Jim, they were hit by a train.
Hmm.
Who could have seen that coming?
Apparently they didn't.
The woman was killed. The man lost both legs, but survived to tell the tale.
Oh.
So, that'll be a fun story for John Boehner's grandkids someday. And then, you're going to love this. You know the only thing that'll make her better now?
What?
Beach Boys.
Oh?
Uh-huh.
Government, yeah, they're going to shut you down. You happened on the hill where they tell big lies. Mm-hmm. A bunch of crazy rednecks standing side by side. Yeah, they don't want us healthy and they act 13. They're revving up the rhetoric and seem real mean. Mess it up, government, yeah, they're going to shut you down.
Yep.
Finding poll numbers at an obscene rate. Cruising 21 hours just to masturbate.
Yeah.
Your support at the last minute seems to get real thin. But the crystal meth they're smoking starts to kick in. Get up, yeah, they're gonna shut you down. Government, yeah, they're gonna shut you down. Government, yeah, they're gonna shut you down.
Is that Beach Boys or Jan and Dean? I confuse them sometimes.
I don't know.
One faction of one party in one House of Congress in one branch of government doesn't get to shut down the entire government just to refight the results of an election.
Thank you. Bill in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
My question is, we're all talking about the House negotiating and compromising. What about the Senate? Why can't the Senate compromise and meet somewhere?
Because we don't call it compromise when a bill has already been passed 3.5 years ago, upheld by the Constitution or by the Supreme Court, and then voted on by the American people, who largely voted for Senate Democrats, the president, and by the way, a million more popular votes for Democrats, even for the House, than for Republicans. But because of gerrymandering, Republicans obviously have the majority in the House.
And it was voted on 44 times now in Congress, and it's lost every single time.
No, it's been voted on 44 times in the House, not in the Senate.
In the House.
So when you say Congress, you mean the whole thing.
The whole compromising part and all that, Bill, that's done like when you're debating the bill.
When it's a bill.
And then
it's the law.
Lost, and then you get... say good day, sir, in our American system of politics.
There was no debate on the bill.
Bill, I'm sorry. Go back. There was no debate on the bill?
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. I watched it on C-SPAN.
Yes, we covered it for 3 years.
Oh, right.
Years.
You covered it for 3 years.
Bill?
It was debated endlessly.
And the bill hasn't been changed at all, has it? Not at all. It hasn't been altered at
all.
Nice tone. You know, these exemptions that
we have. Of course it has been.
Nice tone, dude.
It's not altering of the bill.
Of course it has been, Bill. Like pretty much every other law in our history. Of course.
So wait a
How many times do you think Medicare and Social Security were tweaked?
But you just told me it can't be tweaked. It can't be altered. It can't be changed. It's a law. You just told me that.
Not like this. You don't threaten to shut down the United States government unless you defund a law.
I get this, Craig. You don't like the way this is being done, but the other ones are okay.
That was not what these were. The president is constitutionally able to make tweaks to things, to laws, and it has happened on every major program we've ever had.
I knew, so was Congress.
No,
if you
don't get this. Has never. Can you name me one law in our history that one party has held the president hostage to try and change after it's already passed? Can you name one time that's happened?
Let's see now. There was a Reform Act adding work to welfare that President Clinton signed. And if I remember correctly, at the time he signed it, he wasn't very happy about it. But now he uses it in his speeches as a campaign thing, how much he helped reform welfare. And I think that was a hostage-holding situation. So
the government wasn't shut down over it.
No, he didn't threaten to shut the... Okay, I don't...
What about...
You are a human irritant, sir.
He was a bit of an a-hole.
Why do we even keep talking to him after he said there was no debate on the health care law?
There was 3 years of debate. Not only in both houses of Congress, but in the Supreme Court and in the media for 3 solid years.
There was no debate. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Senator Amy Klobuchar tweets, House needs to wake up, drink some coffee, and do the right thing. Put the simple Senate pass bill up for a vote. Guess what? It passes.
Passes now.
Oh, thank you.
You lose!
Right. Thank you.
Good day, sir!
That's what you get. You get nothing.
You should call him You Lose Lautrec.
See what you did there?
Aha!
That's funny.
Yeah! It's no Guy Lafleur.
No.
All right. They are. They're Losey McLosertons from Losertown. All right. Bye-bye now. Thanks for coming.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Loser.
Yeah, can we just get this out of my system? Lost. You lost, Losey. Sore loser, Losertons.
Yeah, but you can't. But the time when there's other guys when the stuff happens.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
talking to the whole country.
I suggested sending chair to Congress, the Republicans. I did. To tell them to.
Snap out of it.
Thank you, Jim.
Snap out of it.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour. Wow, the Wall Street Journal, not a liberal publication. Just the headline is the international perils in Washington's dysfunction, which we talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
As Jim said when he came in, if I were an enemy of the United States, now would be a good time to... How can allies and foes trust the U.S.'s resolve and ability to be a global player?
Yeah, exactly.
It goes to everything. To the, you know, guy traveling with the Iranian president, like, looking at the headlines going, can Obama really ease sanctions when he can't even... doesn't have the votes to keep his own government open? I mean... And now, as I was saying earlier, they're watching us around the world to see if we do what our worst enemies couldn't even dream of, and that's defaulting on our, you know, blowing through our debt ceiling, and Okay. Peter Barnhart writing in the Daily Beast, Ted Cruz and other GOP congressmen lose by acting like winners. He's talking about last year how, do you remember that everybody thought, all the Republicans thought Mitt Romney was going to win? Yes. The strange part is almost a year later, many in the GOP think he actually did. This March, Ted Cruz said his biggest surprise since entering the Senate has been this defeatist attitude of many Republicans in Washington. Cruz found this odd since I believe we're winning the argument.
What?
Computer says no.
No. And then he goes on to say he doesn't realize they're acting defeatist because they were defeated.
Right.
That's what happened.
Oh, that.
Yes.
Yeah, that happened.
Yes. Republicans may be winning the argument, but he forgot that in our political system, we had a handy way to check. They're called elections.
Mm-hmm.
What we're witnessing today in the GOP is not positive thinking. It's entitlement. As Cruz himself has explained, the young firebrands now dictating the Republican Party's direction are the children of Reagan. Having come of age under a popular conservative president, they refuse to believe that Reaganism does not sell anymore. Actually, genuine Reaganism, as practiced by the guy who repeatedly raised taxes, preserved Social Security, appointed pro-choice Supreme Court justices and amnesty to legal immigrants, would be left-wing heresy in today's GOP, and so far no amount of election defeats will dissuade them.
This is like the attack on Fort Sumter. This is like a second civil war.
Right, yeah. Right. And I was saying that we got to get our buddy Chris Matthews on to talk his book about Reagan and Tip O'Neill, who were actual human beings and actual friends, even though they disagreed on a lot politically.
And they could crap a pineapple.
All right. I have to explain that story now. They were in the back room negotiating, and he was trying to get Reagan to give up his tax cuts.
Right.
That was Reagan's baby. That's right. What he ran on. He, you know, just like President Obama's Obamacare.
Yeah.
And Reagan said, Tip, I can crap a pineapple, but I can't crap a cactus.
I can't crap a cactus. And believe me, I've tried.
I love that expression.
But anyway, they were talking about how everybody always said, we're after 6 o'clock, we're not enemies anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was true. They drank together. They hung out together.
Wait, it's 5:59 and 30 seconds.
I think
okay, now we're
Tip
good.
O'Neill right. Drank a little more than Ronald Reagan.
Yes,
right,
say,
a little bit.
A little bit.
He named Tip.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, it's just really touching stories about how he was the first person to Reagan's bedside after he was shot, and they held mm-hmm. hands and recited a Bible verse together. And I'm not even sure I recognize these Republicans as humans anymore, let alone Republicans. I
think Ted Cruz is a robot. It just occurred to me.
Could be. Could be.
It'd be like springs, you know, bouncing out of his ears.
He is a non-essential government employee, in my opinion.
He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go now. Okay. Judy in California. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think the big winner in this is Al-Qaeda, because
yes.
They don't have to do a thing. They just
right.
sit there and watch us blow ourselves up.
Yep.
And just, they talk about being giddy. Like the Republicans, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's making them chuckly.
And you know, wounded, disabled vets are suffering more than anybody right now.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yeah,
so
that's nice.
Nicely done.
Yeah, nicely done. Thank you for your service. Now screw you. Joe in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I just had a general comment, and I'll take my response off the air. I just wanted to inform you that I just called my two representatives, which in my district in Illinois are both Republicans. I got through, and I left my comments with their staffers, and I decided to call John Boehner's office, which you can't even get to. He's got a voicemail box that is completely full,
yeah.
And it seems like the
question
he's so
popular. He's so popular. That's what it is.
But, I mean, a lot of people are wondering whether or not Congress is listening and whether or not the people are watching Congress. And I encourage people to call the representatives. Thanks.
Yep. Oh, well, thank you.
Ah, wow. This is John Boehner, and you're going to just suck it.
Yeah. That's not what his message said, but it's close enough. That's the short version. All right. Perhaps we can send Yukon Cornelius over to explain what he's going to get at the end of all of this.
Woohoo!
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep. Jeff in L.A. Hi, Jeff. Welcome. Hi, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
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 I just was, I'm a long-time listener, and I love you guys, and I was going to ask you a favor.
Thank you.
Which is, since the Republicans have now shut down the government, can we not listen to any of them on your show for a while?
Yeah, I know. I really didn't kind of have, like, after hearing all the right-wing talking points on TV yesterday, I didn't have a lot of time for that guy who called earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But then there's the other thing when the guy did the stuff with the...
Yeah, I didn't care for his tone.
No.
Oh, you don't care for my tone. Well.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey. That guy was called earlier, you know... He is the Fox News brand-trained Republican.
Yes,
you're making it.
Right.
This is not the original reason I called in, but when you were talking about Tip O'Neill and Reagan getting along so well, I do think that because of individuals like Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, and Fox News and their nasty approach, that I think a lot of these Republicans have assumed, in the Tea Party years especially, that they can behave that way since it gets good ratings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I called is, you know, these individuals don't seem to have any care for the individual people, for the who are sick, who have needs. And I don't know what kind of image they need, but maybe what we need to start doing is find someone who could afford to bring every single person from those Republicans' districts who is ill, who is in need of some sort of assistance, who can't afford medical care, and wheel them in on the gurney, wheelchair, whatever, and say, okay, since you don't want to do anything for this person via what you are actually were called to do, why don't you take personal responsibility then? How should we help this person? Mm-hmm. Should we just forget it? This is one of the reasons why the Vietnam War shut down. When the media started actually showing deaths, showing bodies, showing the people, the American people got a little sick and said no, which is the same reason they didn't want to show that for Iran and Iraq, Afghanistan. And so there needs to be some kind of reality check with these people. We're also dealing with people who have no ability to reason. This is what happens with a zealot. Zealots, as you were saying, they're suicide bombers. They have no interest in rational conversation
Which is why they said we're not going to talk to somebody with a bomb strapped to their chest. The president yesterday.
A shutdown will have a very real economic impact on real people. It would throw a wrench into the gears of our economy at a time when those gears have gained some traction.
Hello, David in Phoenix.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm kind of confused here. If Obamacare, if people think it's so great, why does our own Congress want to be exempt from it? And Harry Reid coming out and saying it's a train wreck waiting to happen, which I feel the same way.
Harry Reid didn't say that.
No.
Harry Reid did say that.
No, he didn't. You're talking about Max Baucus, who has since rescinded that comment, and he wasn't talking about it. Okay.
Yeah, and then why do those people, those jackasses up in the White House, they want to be exempt from Obamacare and lay it on the American people?
The jackasses in the White House?
Because the federal government is a very large employer that offers its own health care insurance. The public or the exchanges are not designed for people who already have health care.
Okay, let's go back 3 years ago. 70-some Americans were against Obamacare, and he just went ahead and just went against the will of the people.
Americans? That is a false number, sir.
70-some percent was against, but didn't want it.
No.
David, the Republicans lost. Republicans lost. We debated this. We voted. Lost.
Yeah.
You lost.
Good.
You lost.
You got nothing.
And the Supreme Court said it's constitutional.
When it was voted on,
it is a law.
When the Supreme Court ruled,
it's not a bill.
It's a law.
When the American people spoke,
yeah, but 700,000 11-jillion people didn't like it.
Why is the White House exempt from having
it?
God.
The Affordable Care cover a headache in your eye.
Well, you have health insurance from your employer,
from
which is you.
Me.
Yeah. So it doesn't affect you at all.
Thank God.
It's Stephanie Care.
Right. Steph Care. Hello, Len in Michigan.
Hello, how you doing?
If I had a Steph infection, you see, I could cure it myself. Thank you. Hi, Len. How are you?
Well, with the bill that was introduced in 2009 and signed into law in 2010, where's that 3 years of debate I heard you guys talk about?
Because it's been...
Because it was debated before that.
The president ran on this.
It was debated before it was signed into law! That's when you have a debate!
Why are they debating?
God, people.
They need like a troll school so they can get their facts straight before they start bloviating.
Somebody just organize something. Okay.
Maybe they need to unionize.
I think they were told just to call up liberal shows and
script. It's hard to have actually a reasoned debate when I think actually we could just pre-record me and put me in my box.
Yeah.
Just saying, that's not true.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. Okay, well, we could debate that point if you had a point, but
you don't have a point. Except on top of your head.
That's not true.
And then you could say, oh, God.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, but what if the day could...
Okay. 46 minutes Is it me, or do they all have that tone?
They all have
that
tone.
Oh, well, what happened then when that time when that thing happened?
That is just reasonable. Wow, it's Harry Brown would compromise. We're being the Dawson Room.
It's the tone that all freepers have.
Okay. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Then I'm gonna shut down the government.
Hey. Awesome. Jim Ward just said, God, there's a lot of holes out there. And I'm like, yep, and they're all calling this show this morning. Good morning, holes. Rocky Mountain Mike has helpfully sent this along.
This is a test. Mm. This is a test of the right-wing troll notification system.
Mm-hmm.
This is only a test.
Benghazi.
This has been a test of the right-wing troll notification system. Had this been an actual issue, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for half-baked information. This concludes this test of the right-wing troll notification system.
Okey-dokey. Thank you, Rocky.
And don't you think this idea is rather half-baked? Oh, no, it's completely baked.
Guess,
it's completely baked.
Guess who has to tell us to all of them first? Travis.
Yeah.
Who just wrote on my screen, I'm sick of this. Can we talk about My Little Pony? No.
No. He says no.
I will fire you. Like this 30-something father claims he was fired for being a My Little Pony fan.
We call them bronies.
Right. An anonymous brony took to Reddit yesterday using the burner account Fired Brony to recount the events that led up to his dismissal. He does acknowledge setting a picture of Applejack as his desktop,
that
which made people uncomfortable.
That would make me uncomfortable, too. But Travis is a brony.
I know he is.
And he wore his My Little Pony shirt today.
No, I can't fire him. I can't get anyone else to talk to all these right-wing holes every morning.
We've already run through two others.
Burned them out. Yeah. Shoot them up and spit them out.
He's my flak jacket.
Yeah.
He takes all the first incoming shrapnel.
That's not the easiest job in the world.
No, it's not. Keep going, brony. Okay, I'm going to overpour tonight. That's how I'm getting through the shutdown. Wine drinkers often overpour, study says.
And this is new to you?
Kidding.
Overpour?
What does that mean?
That means more than a glass, apparently.
It's that thing when they send out tips what to do with leftover wine. You're leftover wine?
What is that?
What is that? What is this? Is there such a thing?
Just have a glass or some glass container of some kind.
People who drink wine often don't know how much they're consuming. Buzzkill researchers at Iowa State and Cornell University found in a new study. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism and whatever and Party Poopers Incorporated says a standard serving is 5 ounces.
What?
What? Stingy pour! That's what I call it.
You have one of those glasses that holds an entire bottle of wine,
yes,
don't you?
Yes. Well,
this is a glass of wine?
How many times have I gotten that birthday present?
What? I'm having a glass. This is a glass. Container of some kind?
Paulie in, it was just yesterday, it's like a big gulp, because I don't want to have to go all the way back upstairs.
You get like a tumbler.
Paulie in North Carolina. Hi, Paulie.
Hi, Steph. This is Holly. And, you know, this astonishes me with this shutdown that these right-wing kind of whack jobs are willing to shut down our government for health care, but yet we can talk, heaven forbid, we should touch gun control. Oh, my God, you know. So maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to try to shut down and repeal all the gun control and
hold
their little stunt.
Why did John Boehner not seem nearly as concerned about the American people? When 90-something percent of them wanted a background check bill to pass.
American people are just stuck it.
And now some thoughts from Miley Cyrus, because what day would be complete?
Oh, she has thoughts?
I think weed is the best drug on earth. One time I smoked a joint with peyote in it, and I saw a wolf howling at the moon. Hollywood is a coke town, but weed is so much better. And Molly, too. Those are happy drugs. I really don't like coke. It's so gross and so dark. It's like, what are you, from the 90s? Ew. Okay.
Deep thoughts with Miley Cyrus.
Huh. I gotta stick my tongue out now. Okay. Oh, boy. Tony in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tone.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Yeah, you know.
Girl, y'all just having a black experience because I don't know why black people have high blood pressure. Okay, so these damn Republicans put the fun in dysfunctional.
Yeah,
I'm just like, it's insane. But you know what? I think everything happens for a reason. And I think the American people as a whole are going to have to finally come to grips just how racist and evil and mean-spirited some of these people are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really that bad. Nobody wants that. Oh, it can't be. Yeah, it's that bad.
Yes.
I mean, we've been knowing that for a long time because they're like, oh, you people are so sensitive. I mean, you take everything. Now you know.
Yep, yep, we are having a black experience.
Now you know what.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay.
All right, okay.
Girl.
All right, girl, you too. Okay. Enjoy your black experience, America. How's that? Yeah. Okay, Dan in California. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hey,
hi,
Steph.
Dan. Hi, go ahead.
I think we need to negotiate with the Republicans for a month of delay. They'll repeal the Hyde Amendment, the Bush tax cuts, the sequester, and my personal suggestion is a new rule on the House, the floor, and the Senate. Anytime a Republican lies, we get to kick them in the nads.
There you go. Oh,
what if it's
goodness.
A girl?
Okay. It's wow. Kick a lying Republican in the balls, Bill.
Sure.
H.R. whatever.
But what if it's Marsha Blackburn?
We'll call it H.R. Yes. Puffin stuff, that bill.
Yeah. What if it's Marsha Blackburn?
All right. You know, we should send Barbara Walters in because she is terrifying, according to Katy Perry. Nobody keeps Barbara Walters waiting. She was miffed that that Katy Perry was late for their interview. So when
she
I got there.
She was wait for the interview.
Oh.
Wait. Where we wait.
Are we? Are we, little miss God kissed a go? When I got here, I apologized immediately, but she said to me, you know, I've only ever waited for one person this long. You know how that person was? Judy Garland. You know how she turned out, why?
Oh,
I was like, oh, snap, yes, bitch. She said, I think it's the coolest thing that Barbara Walters shaded me.
That is kind of cool.
We need to send her west until me, Mr. Bano. No more woe until you turn the government back on. Whoa. I don't know why I'm doing Elmer Fudd. All right, that's it for us.
Valley, valley, quiet.
Happy shutdown day, everybody. Whee. Like, thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Warden, and, of course, Brony Boy, Travis on Phones and Drums. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.